Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT. Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Friday, December 3rd, 2010. Tech News Today is brought to you by Ford and voice-activated Sync, featuring true hands-free calling, turn-by-turn directions, 911 assist, and more, available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles, and by MailRoute.info. MailRoute is a secure hosted service that provides enterprise-grade virus and spam filtering to companies of any size. Try it out right now, absolutely free, at MailRoute.info. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And Sarah Lane is in Paris. Becky Worley is in hell covering Christmas-type holiday gifts for Good Morning America. But thankfully, that gave us the opportunity to bring back two excellent folks to the show. First of all, from ChannelFlip.com, Will Harris. Good to have you back, man.
Sup.
I thought you were broken again.
That's what my wife said.
That's what she said, your wife. Also joining us is the Terpster, Mark Turpin.
Rock and roll.
Would like to be identified as being from hypotheticalhelp.com.
That's where I'm from today. Who knows tomorrow? Could be somewhere else.
You're like Julian Assange, moving from place to place, domain to domain.
I can't be stopped. Fight the power. Yeah, we are the revolution.
We are the children.
Possibly.
Yeah, lots to talk about in the WikiLeaks saga. It really blew up overnight. So here's I'm going to make an attempt to sum this up, and then we can kick it around. WikiLeaks.org was dropped by its domain name service provider last night. Every DNS said in a statement that they actually gave WikiLeaks 24 hours notice. This has nothing to do with politics. It's the fact that there were so many denial of service attacks against the domain name that they couldn't support all of the other domain names that they need to. So they gave them a notice and then pulled the plug. WikiLeaks moved temporarily to WikiLeaks.ch, which was also registered through every DNS. So no big surprise. That one got pulled as well. Meanwhile, Amazon, which had pulled WikiLeaks off of their web hosting service, said, "We did not do it because of the government. We did it because they were violating the terms of service. They were publishing something that they weren't supposed to publish." Amazon didn't call it a copyright violation, but their terms of service imply that it has to be a copyright violation. And they said, well, that violates the terms of service, so we kicked them off. It had nothing to do with government pressure, although Senator Joe Lieberman did call Amazon and alert them to the fact. Also, Senator Joe Lieberman introduced legislation that would criminalize the publication of the name of any U.S. intelligence source. Leaking that information has already been illegal, but it was not illegal to publish the information if you obtained it. France is now saying that they want to stop the web hosting of WikiLeaks in their country because that's where the server is coming out of now that they got kicked off Amazon. It's still hosted by a Swedish company, but the server is located in France right now. And I think that about covers all of what's going on with WikiLeaks right now, although John Perry Barlow, who we interviewed on Triangulate here on TWiT, posted a message of support that WikiLeaks retweeted, said, "This is the first serious info war. It's now engaged. The field of battle is WikiLeaks. You are the troops."
Yeah, I think you missed one thing there, Tom, which was that the Guardian newspaper, which is one of the newspapers that had the kind of pre-leak of the leak here in the UK, was scheduled to have a live web chat with Julian Assange this afternoon. And their site got DOS'd, and they had to cancel the web chat, I believe, because they couldn't keep the site up.
They did the chat, but yeah, they couldn't stream it. So they've published the results of the Q&A. You can read that now. They have now closed comments on the article, though. So you can't comment on it because too many comments.
Did anyone say first on it? Because if you didn't, yeah, on right. that, I would have been like devastated otherwise.
Also, I did miss another thing. Library of Congress has now blocked their employees from visiting WikiLeaks, although the domain name doesn't work anymore. So are they blocking WikiLeaks' IP address? I don't know. WikiLeaks has up on their Twitter feed that you can go to wikileaks.de, wikileaks.fi, wikileaks.nl. I mean, the idea of taking away a domain name is just kind of ridiculous. These sites can pop up all over the place at different domain names. And forget that, even if every domain name got blocked, if you go to 213, 251, 145, 96, you're there. You can't get rid of the IP address.
I love this idea of this being, you know, the first kind of major information war, because that's really what it feels like. It feels like, you know, almost like something out of Terminator, you know, where these, you know, they're trying to shut it down and taking all the servers offline, and then people are pulling domain names, and then they're trying to, like, you know, put it up in different places and hide it and try and still keep it accessible for people. I mean, it feels kind of, you know, guerrilla. And it's I don't think it's something that we've seen before. It's quite exciting,
I think. And you know what's interesting about this? WikiLeaks posted a bunch of stuff from the Iraq War, the Afghanistan War previously, and it did not have this level of reaction. Arguably, it was more dangerous information because it was specifically about army units and informants and that sort of thing. Robert Gates, the Secretary of Defense in the United States, said at the time that he didn't think it should have been published, but he didn't think the fallout would be that dangerous. Robert Gates has commented on these leaks as well and said, I don't see any real serious damage from these leaks either. Again, he doesn't support them and he thinks they're classified for a reason, but he thinks the damage is going to be minimal. Yet we're getting a much bigger reaction. Is it because these leaks are embarrassing, gossipy leaks?
Yeah, exactly. I think you've hit the nail on the head. I mean, the thing what shocks me, though, is they seem kind of surprised that people... I mean, I, for one, didn't feel we really needed the leaks to know that governments tend to be a little bit two-faced and, you know, kind of say things, you know, behind other governments' backs. You know, I kind of, you know, took that as a given. But it's always nice to read about them. I'm always a big fan of, you know, of any kind of daytime soap. And so far, I really like the first season of WikiLeaks. I'm hoping they can keep it up. The writing seems quite fresh and original. And I'm enjoying it so far.
So this should be on MTV, is what you're saying.
Oh, totally. Yeah, The Hills WikiLeaks edition. Like, oh my God.
It wouldn't be. You wouldn't need the situation. You'd have the situation room.
Exactly.
Exactly. It would just be, it'd be perfect. It's already there. And unfortunately, by saying it, we basically forfeited the rights right now. So that's another bit of money we've missed out on.
I also I read an interesting article that supposed that this is actually going to show just how ungovernable the internet can be. The fact that they're actually going after domain names now, they're doing things which I think are questionable. I mean, Amazon pulling WikiLeaks and saying it's because they violated the terms of service is pretty shaky. It is not against the law to publish this information. It is not a copyright violation at all to publish this information. So I'm not sure how it violates the Amazon Terms of Service. Amazon could say, you know, we don't support this. We think it's a bad idea and we think it's dangerous, and so we're going to kick them off. Fine. But that's not what they're saying. They're trying to say, we're not taking a side. It's a copyright violation. This information is not copyrighted.
But they're trying not to harm their web hosting image. They are saying about it's not about the denial of service attacks, because we can totally handle them. We're really good. You should probably buy some web space right now. And they're saying, you know, it's not about what you host. Come on, host your homemade antics. We don't mind. You know, it's all a question of, you know, just not trying to damage their business. But ultimately, yeah, they don't want to be associated or a part of all of this this storm that's going on around WikiLeaks.
Will, would it be bad if the New York Times was publishing some of this information, which frankly they have, and their web host said, you know, we're not going to host your material anymore?
Well, I think that's a really interesting question, because what the sort of, I don't know, the elephant in the room here seems to me to be that if, you know, WikiLeaks is getting kicked around and there's so much focus on what WikiLeaks is publishing, you know, the New York Times, Der Spiegel and The Guardian, you know, they're republishing the same stuff. Shouldn't people be, you know, shouldn't the same folks, the web hosts and the feds be going after these guys as well? I think the interesting thing there is that, you know, the New York Times obviously would then claim, you know, freedom of the press and First Amendment and all
well,
that.
And that's what WikiLeaks is really claiming.
Well, that's really interesting because, you know, is WikiLeaks freedom of the press? Is it a journalistic enterprise? Or, you know, what is it? It's really hard to know. As you say, you know, publishing this stuff, not necessarily illegal. So on what grounds is anybody going after them for anything?
And even if they do, they take away their web hosting, they take away their domain names. Let's say they block the IP address. This information still gets out. It's going to be available on torrents. It can be available on OpenNIC, which requires you to change some settings, but it allows you to get to all kinds of domain names that aren't regulated by ICANN and can't be shut down by any government.
I mean, I don't know what they, in some senses, I don't know what they hope really to achieve.
I mean, because as you say, you know, to achieve or
no? I mean, what people hope to achieve by kind of going after WikiLeaks? It seems to me that it's not so much about stopping this information getting out, because clearly, you know, that's shutting the stable door after the horse is bolted. It seems to me about, if I'm going to carry on that tenuous analogy, stopping any more horses from getting out.
Teaching
anywhere.
The other horses that when you
teaching
leave
the other
barn,
horses to stay the
there
hell
are
where
consequences.
They are.
But yeah. Surely they should go for a sugar lump rather than a rod of some sorts. Maybe there should be some incentive for not posting leaks. Like, I haven't posted any leaks. Maybe they should give me a rebate or something like that. You know, it must be something if the government wants to play ball. It's starting to scare me a little bit, though. It's getting a little bit firewall of China, really. You know, I don't want my internet.
Well, China blocked WikiLeaks. Yeah, that was easy. China just, you know, that, yeah, I mean, like, it is different for China because they just said no more. You can't get WikiLeaks inside the country. Done. That was easy.
And that's the thing. But by the way these guys are talking, they want to do that. You know, the US government would love to be able to do that. And you start thinking, well, hang on. You know, there's a reason, you know, Google and companies like that, you know, stood up against China and decided they didn't want to be a part of that to an extent. And, you know, I think that it's not right. You know, if you don't agree with something, doesn't mean you should remove it. Now, I understand, you know, there's potential for people to be put at risk and things like that. And, as of yet, I don't think we've had the first kind of fatality or anything drastic from it. It's just been embarrassing.
Well, Secretary of State Gates says that he doesn't think there's anything truly dangerous
in these,
but he thinks it's a bad precedent because it does raise the risk level. What I think is interesting is that everyone's making the argument about troop positions for this round of leaks, which doesn't have that kind of information in it. Well, if it does, not nearly the level it did the last round. Last round of leaks, they didn't propose laws. Maybe it's because it's building on itself. Maybe it's because, you know, this is the second time and now we've really got to teach him a lesson. I don't know. But it does smack to me that this time it's about the politicians, not the military. And that's why we're getting the big reaction.
But I see far more people visiting the site because they've kind of decided to single it out. Without all this news coverage, without all these people, you know, trying to shut it down, they're just flaming the fire right now. You know, they're just, I wouldn't have been, I didn't see it the first time round. I didn't really hear of it. This time round, with all the kind of, you know, chaos that's going on, yeah, I've been on there. Wouldn't have, you know, not really interested, in all fairness, but I went on it just to see what it was all about. And I think far more people have gone out this time around just purely because people are saying not to.
All right, let's move off of WikiLeaks, or else we could probably talk about this all day. Our amuse-bouche story to cleanse your palate is Apple won't allow demos, trials, or betas in their forthcoming Mac App Store. The App Store should be launching for Snow Leopard sometime this month, or at least by the end of January, and at the very latest. Apple has told developers your website is the best place to provide demos, trial versions, or betas of your software. The apps you submit to be reviewed for the Mac App Store should be fully functional retail versions. What do you guys think?
Okay. Is it just a case of it being free? Is that the objection? Do they want no free apps?
No, I think you can give away an app. I think what they're saying is you can't have, you know, your beta, your trial. They want these to be real apps. If it's your full retail version and your full retail version is free, fine. But they want it. They don't want it to be like, oh, we've got the light version here for free, and it's a trial, and it's limited, and it's shareware.
Well, that's exactly it, right? I mean, because if you look at the you know, the App Store on the phones and on the iPad, that's exactly what you get. You get the light version of a game, and then the full version of a game, and you get the light version of some kind of really useful utility, and then the paid for version. And it's really clunky and really stupid and really annoying. And clearly, what you should be able to do is have the free version, which you can upgrade to the full version, you know, for a price after a certain period of time. I don't I can see that they've made a decision. I don't understand what kind of problem they're hoping to solve by doing this.
Well, my first reaction was this is encouraging. It says Apple is not trying to be the controller of all software. Apple is trying to be a boutique shop that has really good software. So that they're not saying this is the one place to get all the software for your computer. They're saying, hey, you want a nice, clean, well-lit store to walk around in and see quality stuff. That's our store. I actually can live with that.
But then there should be a demo section. There should be a clearance section for when I want to go in the bargain basement and go and rummage around and see, oh, that's cheap, or oh, that's free. I'll try that out. Oh, this is brilliant. Oh, and the full version does that. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, now I'm going to go and spend and buy up.
Have you ever seen a clearance section in an Apple store?
No, well, exactly. But they should, because they're missing out. That's the problem. And they do it online and they do it through other means, but they don't make it as, you know, public and pretty. And I think that there should be a place for it. I mean, we were chatting before, obviously, like, where do you draw the line, though? Photoshop Elements is a trimmed-down version of Photoshop. You know, it itself is a standalone piece of software, but ultimately it could be considered by some a light version of Photoshop. So, you know,
that's a good question.
Fact that you're charging for it, does that make it okay?
What do you think?
Can people now just charge for demos?
Well, it is hard to know really where you draw the line, because then you start getting into things like, you know, in the phone store where you've got free apps that are effectively cost you money because of the sort of in-app purchases you have to do in them, like games like the sort of Wii Rule and those kind of things. And then, like, how is that different really from a trial, you know, from something that's free that you then pay to upgrade? Why is that acceptable and the other isn't? It seems like so many other things in the Apple Store to be a completely arbitrary decision made by people that we have no idea about for no particular reason that we can discern.
I think there's going to be a lot of controversy over people trying to work around this rule, too. Anytime you've been, that's the danger with these sorts of things. Definitely. Is anytime you put in a rule, people try to figure in how to squeeze in around it and say, no, this is my full version. I'm just doing an in-app payment for features that I turn on, when essentially it's just a light version.
Right. Exactly.
I don't see past, like you said, cosmetic reasons, keeping it clean. Again, I can think they can do that with software anyway. It just seems a kind of arbitrary decision that just makes no sense to me.
All right. I think it's probably just a way of cleaning up the store, but we'll see when they actually start having the controversies over different types of apps, what it ends up being. It's all in how they apply it, I think. But I do like that Apple said your website is the best place for being free about software, because that's right. The internet is the best place to be free with software.
So, I mean, are we going to have kind of app descriptions that say, if you'd like to try this app out, please go to adobe.com and try out the trial version from there? Is that what we're going to see?
Yeah, we may.
But in that case, doesn't that kind of defeat the point of the store?
Yeah.
I mean, that completely defeats the point of the store.
Well, no, I think it defeats the point of the store for that kind of situation. But the point of the store is come here when you're ready to buy, when you're serious.
I guess maybe the side effect of this will be a drastic decrease in price for applications that are on the App Store. I mean, what I wonder, you know, look at something like 1Password, for example, which is what, like $20. That if it's a case where you've got to go to their site for a trial, and then you've got to have it, then you've got to activate it, and then you go back to the Mac store and buy like the full version, will the same thing happen on the Mac that seems to have kind of happened on the iPhone, where the price point ends up at just like the impulse purchase point? So instead of being $20 to buy it from the website, it's actually just $5. Because at $5, the hassle of going to the website and trying it and then going back again is much, much, much less than just paying the $5.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that fits the Apple retail store model. A lot of times the software that you see on the shelves there is much less expensive if you go and buy it directly from the software company or download it, but you've got the convenience of being in the store and you pick it up right off the shelf.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same idea, I think. Let's talk about Verizon. They announced on Wednesday that they would start their fast LTE network this Sunday. That's faster internet for Verizon users. Clear, which operates a WiMAX network that's already out and already fast, has started a little pissing match with Verizon over data caps. The International Telecommunications Union, by the way, calls neither of them 4G because they're not fast enough. but Clear has said on its blog that Verizon has placed on its monthly plans caps, and that people will want to have unlimited data for a reasonable price, and that's why everyone will pick WiMAX from Clear.
So Clear says that people want to buy their products. That sounds incredible.
Well, they're trying to point out, like, hey, you got limits when you use Verizon's new fast internet. With us, you don't. You've got unlimited. You don't think about it. You just pay one amount. In fact, they made Verizon charges $50 per month for a 5 gigabyte plan. They made the comparison that if a customer used 20 gigabytes per month on Clear, that would cost you $45 a month because that's unlimited. With Verizon, even on the $80 10 gigabyte plan, your 20 gigabytes a month would cost you $180.
What I don't understand about this, because I don't know, maybe I'm being really dumb, but what is it about data in America that makes it so much more expensive than data anywhere else in the world? Like, it's not different data.
It's free, right? Data, though. It is. It's been liberated. It's kind of, you know,
it's got its First
especially
Amendment
with extra
rights.
Holidays
it's
like got, Thanksgiving. You know,
this data never had to rebuild from World War II.
Exactly. That's true. You know.
Because, you know, data over here, you know, a 5 gigabyte plan is maybe like, what, £5, Mark? £10? And so this idea of like $50 for a data plan is like, what? How? What is this, like, data served on a plate with a butler, you know, meshed in foie gras or something?
I wish it were. Sadly, no. Sadly, it's, well, you bought that phone and it's a CDMA phone and it's locked and you can't use it anywhere else. Want to go somewhere else? Fine. Buy a new phone and pay this early termination
fee. It just amazes me how just kind of, I don't want to say backward, but I'm going to say backward. Your whole economy is about mobile phones.
Well, it's because we don't have unlocked phones. No one, for when, and that I it would take a longer conversation to tease out why that is. But without unlocked phones, you don't have the ability to move from place to place.
No,
you
absolutely.
You have 2 year contracts become the norm, which means there's less moving from wireless provider to wireless provider. And really, we only have two main wireless providers now in AT&T and Verizon. Sprint and T-Mobile sort of nip at their heels. There is some competition. But it's just not easy to move from one place to the other.
But, you know,
that's ridiculous. I'm going to the cheaper place.
I talk to, you know, friends that have in America, and they're absolutely amazed at the idea that you can go into an Apple store in London and buy an iPhone, and they'll just say, what SIM card do you want with it? Yeah. Do you want, like, the T-Mobile one? Do you want the Vodafone one, the Orange, the, you know, the 3? What do you want? You can have anything. Take your pick.
And the best part is, in the United States, we actually have the one company that has the SIM card that the rest of the world uses. Because even though T-Mobile does GSM, they have it on a different bandwidth. So the one company that has the worldwide GSM, and we can't use it on anybody else because nobody else uses that system in this country. Nope. Anyway, I think it was PC World, PC Mag. Sorry, PC Mag did a little analysis and found that if you had a 5 gigabyte cap on your Verizon LTE plan, that you would use it up in 32 minutes. That's it. If you used it constantly and were using all the bits that you could get. You were using it at max speed, which is probably not likely to happen. So it might take you a couple hours in reality. But if you maxed out the 21 megabits per second, it would take you 32 minutes.
That is fast internet, though.
Yeah. Thing is, that's the theoretical.
Between 21 minutes of sheer beauty.
That's the theoretical max. You're never going to get that in practice. You're going
to
six.
I'm trying to think what you'd actually get, what you'd be doing to actually rack that up, really.
High definition pornography.
Yeah, maybe.
It's the only answer.
I guess 32 minutes would be a bit of a brag as well. You'd be like, 32 minutes.
When you look at it that
way. High def, I saw everything.
32 minutes, man.
It's quite a long time. It all depends on your perspective, I suppose.
They call me Verizon. You'll understand why.
All right. Let's take a break and let the audience recover from that one. And thank our sponsor, Ford, makers of voice-activated sync. They bring you true hands-free calling. You make phone calls on your mobile phone. You hop into a Ford, and it connects by Bluetooth, and you don't have to touch your phone anymore. You can play your music, you can make your calls, you can call 911, and they want to give you a chance to drive a 2012 Ford Focus. We've been talking about this on TNT the past few days. All you have to do is make a video explaining why you want to drive the Ford Focus. By the way, it's in Madrid. They're going to fly you to Madrid to drive it, and you're going to be at the Spanish National Institute for Aerospace Technology maybe not on the same track as the space rockets, but you'd probably be within view of space rockets. Just saying. While you that's test pretty, drive.
Is this eligible worldwide or is it just American?
You know, that's a good question. Go to twitfordfocus.com to find out if it's worldwide or local.
I will check it out because I want to make a video and drive it. It'd be badass.
Well, what you do, they're going to donate $10,000 to the charitable cause of your choice. So you tell them, this is why I want to be a Ford Focus test driver. This is the charitable cause I want. This is why I think they deserve it. And you upload that at twitfordfocus.com by December 31st. And it's available to Twit audience members worldwide, Terpster. So, yeah, you can totally do it.
I think I'm going to choose something like puppies because who would deny puppies $10,000?
Well, there's lots of different puppy charities. Which one are you going to pick?
Well, the cutest one. That's what I'd find. I'd do my research.
They're
and
all
be
pretty
like,
cute.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen? My wife gets these mailers all the time from the SPCA and the Humane Society and all that. They all have cute puppies. Sometimes
But there must be like the adorable puppy charity. Where, you know, every year, adorable puppies like the one you're seeing in front of you. I've given away a puppy. And
give
are used in commercials to sell goods. And what happens after they become adorable, you know, no longer adorable? They get put down. Well, we recycle those puppies and make new puppies out of them. You know, and that would be, I might make a charity, get 10 grand as well. Everyone's a winner then.
You know, if you want to do it not for yourself, folks, you should do it for the puppies. TwitFordFocus.com. Make your video. Help a puppy today.
Can I just say, I've never been on one of the Twit podcasts with a Ford Focus ad, and I do actually have a Ford Focus, and
really?
It has the European derivative of Sync, and it is pretty freaking cool.
No kidding. Well, this is
I spent my own money on it.
This is the 2012 Ford Focus, so you could potentially...
I have the 2010.
You could potentially
compare.
It's the RS,
which is the pimp one.
Nice. Four-door, five-door, or...
Oh, three-door, man. Come on.
Three-door. Okay. All right.
Car news today.
No, you're not rallying enough.
Well, we may not have decent data plans, but we have doors in this country.
Yeah?
Five, six doors.
Doors going out everywhere.
Five-door wagons, you betcha.
Like, hey, on this hood, I reckon we could fit a couple of doors on there. Yeah. I think, yeah, let's do that.
The new 20-door. Maybe we can put some extra doors in the trunk.
I want to warn people before we move on to the next story that if you're sensitive to jokes about minors... You might not want to listen because Terpster's on the show and this is
not children, though.
No, data mining, like M-I-N-I.
Yeah, no,
not
children
M-I-N-O.
Are fine. We're like, you know, are we? I don't
know. So, several companies that do data mining, and this is where they, you know, they research you. They take all of your habits, they set a cookie, they collect all that data, they put it together. They know that they are under the gun. The FTC says we want a do not track list. Everybody's saying privacy, privacy, privacy. We need to fight. They have started a partnership called the Open Data Partnership that would allow consumers to edit the interests, demographics, and other profile information collected about them. And it would allow people to choose not to be tracked at all. So without any legislation, these companies are getting together saying, hey, you know what? Blue Kai Incorporated, Low Tame Solutions, Exhalate Incorporated, we're all going to do this voluntarily just to kind of get you off our backs. And I think it's a great idea. You don't have any big names in here yet, though. You don't have your Googles. You don't have your Yahoos. But do you guys think this is a good idea?
We're all just trying to avoid doing inappropriate jokes.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, it's terrible, really, that people feel the need to mine this data in the first place. You know, like, I'm sure that there's a plentiful source somewhere, you know, that, you know, people could phone me up. Maybe they could employ me and I would give them the data they require. So they'd be like, okay, Terpster, we want to know what women in their 40s like to browse. And I'll say they like to go on Twitter.
You know,
TV.
I imagine that actually finding out directly from women in their 40s might be more accurate.
It might be, but that might be more invasive. And I think if you want to be a caring company and come across like
this is what
like
they're saying,
care,
is like, we don't want to be invasive. We want to give you control over your data.
Do you know what? I always think these things like data mining.
You can only learn about half of what I do, not the other half.
Yeah.
That's probably a good
point. You know, they remind me of that, you know, the Seinfeld sketch where like the guy, you know, the telemarketer calls Seinfeld. And Seinfeld's like, I'm really busy right now. Why don't you give me your home number? And I'll call you back.
Yeah, right.
What, you don't want to give me your home number? Because you don't want to be bothered at home? Right.
Excellent.
Now you know how I
let
feel.
Me set a cookie on your machine, please.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but you know what?
It's very much like trying to, it's preemptive, right? It's about trying to prevent the government getting in worked up enough about this. It's the classic American non-regulation regulation. It's self-regulation.
Self-regulation.
Yeah, I think it's a good safety, though, as well. Because all it would take is too much data, and these miners could get trapped under that. And then we've got to invoke, I don't know how many different organizations. And I mean, I've been through it once already, and I've had a counter up on my news feed telling me how many of these data miners have been rescued from the sheer amount of information. But if we can regulate how much information we give them, if we can say, I understand you're getting a lot of data, you're mining it from all over the world, here's only a little bit from me, that I'm then doing my bit to make the net a safer place for these people. So I think it's probably a good thing.
That's brilliant. Just cut to a shot of Tom drinking.
Let's move on to Google's going to buy.
To get through this this TNT.
Google's going to buy their own New York City office building. They have a nice little office building, actually it's a big office building in Chelsea. They share it with a bunch of other companies: Nike, the Lifetime Cable Channel, WebMD, and Google says, you know what? We're tired of paying rent. We want to be a landlord, so they're going to buy the 500 square foot building in downtown. Well, not downtown, in Chelsea, Manhattan.
It makes good business sense.
$2 billion. How much is their rent, though? And how long are they planning to stay there?
That's probably a couple of million a year, right, for that rent.
Well, it's
not about saving the rent. It's about owning stuff, right?
Yeah,
what else can you do with that? You know, what else accumulates value at the value at the rate of New York real estate? So if you've got a chance to get some, then why not get some? It's not like they're short of a few billion dollars. What's that? You know, a couple of days worth of AdSense.
And they want to put, you know, they want to do crazy things at Google, right? They want to probably drop crates of fiber on top of the building. And
well,
landlord's,
you know,
like,
you've got that thing where with landlords, you know, you're not allowed to put the pictures up on, you know, you've got to ask them before you put nails in the wall. And maybe they were like, you know, we want to put some photos up on the wall. And maybe we should just buy the building to do that.
Yeah. All these photos, these life-size photos of Sergey and
Eric. Now we
put
our pictures on the wall. That's where it's at.
Google also acquired Phonetic Arts. They are a company that allows you to record your voice and then turns that into voice-activated text-to-speech that sounds like a normal human. So instead of getting that robot voice, you know, you actually just get a normal voice, which is great because Google's been doing a lot of voice recognition and speech-to-text, text-to-speech stuff.
Yeah, you know what this really means, though?
Stephen Hawking.
Google's getting into the sex chat business. Oh. What is a better use of this stuff than just to have, you know?
Well, they could certainly
automated,
you know,
voices
would,
the whole time.
Google would never do that.
Sound like they real
would,
people.
They would never do that because that would tarnish their image. But they could certainly license the technology now, couldn't they?
Exactly.
Yeah, and make a mint.
Oh, baby, I am so hot right now. You know, I think that's actually hotter. I would like the machine option. If they do roll this out, I want to be able to still choose the classic Hawking because that's, for me, what computers should sound like.
It's the first step towards Battlestar Galactica. It's brilliant.
Exactly, yeah.
I think they need to focus more on their transcription technology. I mean, yeah, this is nice. It makes the reading back to you fine. But have you used the transcription technology in YouTube or Google Voice?
Yeah, I love
with
the one on YouTube.
Facts.
Like, I've seen some videos I've done.
Yeah,
and just
but
been like,
Cuba.
I'm pretty certain that's not what I said.
Here's a voicemail
right
we
there.
Got from someone in Madison, Wisconsin. This is the Google transcript. So you know about this appointment about Allwall? Which 2 week situation? 3rd of June, 3rd. Any Lee Cable the body? Well follows. That's really really disappointing. Thanks for the so.
In all fairness, I know exactly what he means.
That's more coherent than a lot of my friends.
And putting them back into voice, surely they should just play the original audio. Surely that would just defy the need for this acquisition.
Yeah, exactly. I think they're going to use it for other things. Like maybe those Google Editions books will have text-to-speech and it'll be read to you in a pleasant voice. That'd be great.
Oh, I like that. Yeah. That sounds good.
That would be good.
HTC has acknowledged that there is an issue with the HTC HD7 depending on how you hold it. They say to ensure the best possible single strength, antennas are placed in the area least likely to be covered by a person's face or hands. However, it is inevitable that a phone's signal strength will weaken a little when covered in its entirety by a user's palm or fingers, We test all our phones exclusively and are confident that under normal circumstances, reception strength and performance will be more than sufficient for the operation. Does this sound familiar?
I feel like I've heard this before somewhere.
I hear it a lot from the ladies, and I'm like, well, if you hold it like that, it's not going to work. Okay?
Talking about their phones, right? You're talking about the iPhone
delicate,
mostly. Yeah.
With their iPhones, exactly, yeah. With their iPhone 4s.
So HTC, who told the Wall Street Journal during Apple's problems with this last summer that Apple's reception problems were certainly not common, now having a little taste of crow. Just a little sample.
But then you look at how popular the iPhone was, and I'll admit, I want one because I want to be able to hang out with my little finger just on the side.
Well, maybe that's what HTC's thinking. Yeah. They're like, you know, that works so well for the iPhone 4. Maybe we should have a death grip problem.
Yeah. And then what they do is they probably release a free case. And that's what people go for when they're spending this kind of money on a phone. They're like, whoa, $20 free for a case. Yep, I'll take one. You know, and that's what's going to do it.
And really quickly, Viacom has appealed its unsuccessful $1 billion copyright lawsuit against Google's YouTube. They lost to YouTube. YouTube was granted safe harbor status. Viacom has filed a brief saying, we need the second U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals to overrule the decision. If they let that lower decision stand, quote, it would radically transform the functioning of the copyright system and severely impair, if not completely destroy, the value of many copyrighted creations. They're saying that if YouTube is allowed to only respond to takedown notices about copyrighted material and not be required to actively review every single video uploaded to YouTube, that it would destroy the value of copyright.
No, it would just destroy your business model, and that's what you're actually complaining about.
And by value
you're too
of
old
copyright,
to change your business model.
You mean the Viacom?
I mean, this is right. I mean, the court basically just applied the DMCA and applied the law to the situation. God forbid that the court should apply the law to the situation.
Yeah. So, or anyone from the Jersey Shore, for that matter. We don't have any court dates or anything like that. They've just filed the brief, but we'll let you know in the calendar on TNT in future once they've figured out, because we're going back to court, Viacom and YouTube. Been covering this since like before Molly Wood left Buzz Out Loud for the first time. This thing's been dragging on.
That's it's an interesting dating system you got there.
Yeah,
it's like the year after Molly left. Oh, the year before.
I think Veronica
three,
still
three,
on the
three
show.
Mollies ago.
Yeah, it was three
we're
Mollies
back
and a Veronica.
In the Veronica age.
All right, I want to take a break to thank our other sponsor, MailRoute.info. Do either of you guys host your own mail? You host your own websites? You know, rent.
Yeah, that would be dumb. You know why it would be dumb?
Why?
Because you use MailRoute.
Well, actually, no, this is for people who host their own mail.
No, you couldn't know.
MailRoute.info is for...
fundamental misunderstanding of
product
or service.
If you're using Google Apps on the domain or you're hosting your own email, you're a small business, MailRoute keeps out the spam. So all it does says, take your email, route it through us, we'll get rid of the spam with virtually no false positives. And I say virtually just to cover my ass, but I have never seen a false positive. They say no false positives. So nothing good is ever blocked. All the spam is kicked out. I've been able to resurrect one of my email addresses. Outbound services can be used 50 cents per user per month. Or if you're a small business or if you run your own mail server for family and friends, you can do a yearly account that's something like something under $30 per year. So it's not very costly. You can sign up, try it out for free right now at MailRoute.info. We thank them.
That's awesome.
Support. Time for the news fuse.
Every time that gets me.
Me too. Level 3. They're the ISP who earlier this week accused Comcast of violating net neutrality, posted a fact today saying Comcast would like you to view this as a peering arrangement. We talked with Reed Fischler from Hurricane Electric about that. But Level 3 says it just isn't so. Instead, they say it's an interconnection agreement. And that would make a difference, as interconnection is usually independent of traffic. Comcast, for its part, seems to object to the increased number of connections options being requested by Level 3. They say it is a peering issue, no matter what Level 3 wants to call it. We're going to have an in-depth discussion on this topic on Sunday on This Week in Tech. So check that out on Sunday. Leo's out, and I'll be hosting. And we'll try to get into like what's actually going on here. But if you didn't see our interview with Reed Fischler earlier the week in Tech News today, check that out because he explains what a peering agreement is supposed to be. This is gonna go on for a little while longer, I have a feeling.
Congress is getting itself very busy regulating the sound level of TV commercials and also the rules around credit card charging. A bill known as the Restore Online Shoppers Confidence Act passed yesterday in the US Senate, giving it the dubious accolade of possibly being the only thing to pass the US Senate in the next 2 years.
Yeah, possibly.
The law will make it illegal to use misleading post-transaction advertisements. I'm not quite sure what that would be, but it sounds
That's
pretty bad.
That's when you take a credit card from someone else's sign-up. Like, I sign up at buy.com, and then buy.com gives my credit card to some loyalty program company, and then they start charging me.
Oh, that's naughty. Yeah. Well, thanks to the Restore Online Shoppers Confidence Act,
Rosca,
that won't happen anymore. Oscar, I see what they did there. Meanwhile, the Commercial Advertisement Loudness Mitigation, or CALM, Act is ready for the president to sign. Socialized Advert Communist Volume Control.
All the commercials must have the same volume.
The government is controlling your volume on your television. It's the end of days. It's happening here.
If you support CALM, you're a socialist. Just saying.
Yep. You might as well just saying. Paint yourself red and call yourself a commie.
CALMIE.
LimeWire is calling it quits. We mentioned yesterday, apparently, I'm part of that, that they were shuttering their Legal Music Cow site. Today we learned they told All Things D that the beginning of 2011 will mark the closing of LimeWire's New York office and cessation of business by LimeWire.
So, yeah. We hardly knew you, LimeWire. I'm going to pour a little out
Sad,
for you right
it?
Now.
Sad. There's something else. What is it? Frostwire? Is that getting shut down as well?
No, probably not.
Probably not. Oh, well.
The X-37B, an unmanned U.S. Air Force space plane, returned to Earth early this morning, officially making it the U.S.'s first unmanned vehicle to return from space and land on its own. Also known as the Orbital Test Vehicle 1, the X-37B is designed to demonstrate the feasibility of unmanned and reusable space vehicles for use in future missions. Kind of replaces
What's the
space
difference
shuttle.
Between a space plane and a space shuttle?
You know what? There is a difference, and I can't remember what it is right now. But
That's fair enough. As long as there is, and they're not just trying to be like, we invented this new thing, call it the space plane, so that people are interested. I don't know.
Space plane. Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison is number one again.
Yeah!
Oracle has retaken the current land speed record in database computing back from IBM. The forthcoming Spark T3-4 supercluster has achieved a performance record of more than 30 million transactions per minute, beating IBM's Power 780 server, which delivered a pitiful 10 million transactions per minute. Nothing. I mean, honestly, I don't know why I even bothered.
Embarrassing.
It's terrible. While Google allegedly secretly getting ready to snatch up Groupon, Amazon.com has invested $175 million in Groupon rival Living Social. Living Social is the second largest player in the daily deals market and is reportedly on track to report well over half a billion dollars, I'm going to call that, or $500 million in revenue next year. Groupon's revenue, by contrast, is expected to be three times that much in 2011.
In less than 2 months from launch, Samsung says it reached 1 million units sold of its Galaxy Tablet computer, the Galaxy Tab. Samsung doesn't say whether that's the number of actual devices consumers took home or just the number of devices delivered to retailers, but still, it's just the first tablet to make any kind of headway against the iPad, so good job on you, Tab.
Now, EMI, the well-known lackluster British music company, is although they're suing MP3 tunes at the moment, it's come to light that they are using the cloud themselves for slightly dubious purposes. In legal briefings, it's claimed that EMI is putting its music on RapidShare, and directing people to download it in the hopes that it spreads virally, thus providing some interesting free marking. Now, EMI accuses MP3 tunes of enabling piracy by linking to RapidShare, but if EMI is using RapidShare itself, then that would seem to... This is a great phrase. The phrase written here is, that would seem to weaken their argument, which seems to be kind of understatement of the century.
Yeah. You're supposed to...
Not so much weaken as
You're supposed to deliver that in a dry British wit sort of way. I don't know if you can manage that.
Weaken their argument somewhat, don't you think?
Somewhat of a BBC tinge. There you go. Perfect.
In light of that, two people are being investigated by police in Germany after being accused of stealing songs. Oh, disgusting. From artists like... And it gets worse. From artists like Lady Gaga, Justin Timberlake, and Keisha.
That never happens.
It makes me feel ill. I don't even know if I can read this, but I'm gonna try. Media reports in the country have named the pair as an 18-year-old student, Denise. Or maybe that would make more sense. Known as DJ Stolen. What an apt name. And Christian M doesn't have a DJ kind of name, unfortunately.
A cool DJ alias.
DJ alias. That's what I reckon his name is. They allegedly used a Trojan to hack into the artist's computer because they just wanted to find cool music. I think even if he had got in there, they would still be looking.
That's the easy joke.
It is easy, but it's good. That's,
you know, I brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack. All right, let's move on to our final story here. Augmented reality tag candy being shown off at from KU University at a conference. Augmented reality application in real life. So this isn't a scan a VR code or point your camera somewhere and see Jim Morrison walk across the street. You put a lollipop in the joystick-like vibrator, and then when you start to lick the lollipop, you'll get sounds like of like bubbling soda if it's a root beer lollipop, as well as vibrations.
If you're not watching this video right now, please go and watch it because my God, it's brilliant.
And the sounds are delivered through bone conduction.
Bone conduction, exactly.
Bone conduction. That's how I most try to translate sounds and pleasures and sensations.
Well, it's the same thing jawbone earpiece works. Same way. Mm. Yeah.
So it's not quite as phallic, the jawbone earpiece, is it really?
Not in the ear, no. but when your tongue touches the vibrating candy, you receive a sensation, says the maker. So,
just say it.
This lends itself to an unending stream of jokes, which we made in our prep meeting about this. But frankly, this has got the makings of some really cool, even non-porn applications.
Really, though? I'm not sure. I can only think of Life Doll, really, with anything
real
related
doll.
To this.
You talking about Real Doll?
Yeah, I'm thinking, I don't know. If you're the expert on this, I will leave it to you. But I am thinking that... you're going to see these being sold in pairs, and you're going to be able to swap sensations to people across the internet.
They did say they want to make sensation profiles downloadable, so you could
exactly. Oh, brilliant! Yeah.
It seems like a kind of if I was going to try and attempt to merit. If I was going to attempt to raise level a bit, it kind of seems a little bit Heston Blumenthal. It's the sort of thing that you can see him doing to create some crazy kind of food stuffs.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is, the idea. I read another crazy story today about somebody who wants to actually put food in little containers and send them through an underground tube to various supermarkets and government institutions in the same way that internet is delivered. So there's all kinds of
easily analogous. They're both just a series of tubes.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though, really.
It's not a big truck.
Yeah, you could. Because I always struggle to understand about data packets, but I think I'd understand like chip packets a lot easier. And so that, to me, could be a way they could teach the internet in schools as well. They'd be like, how you get your chip packets? Just imagine that as data. And people would be like, nom, oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, I totally understand that. Thank you, teacher. I'd be like, you're welcome.
All right, let's move on to the calendar. Best Buy Mobile is going to offer free smartphones in the U.S., mostly Android phones, every day in December. You will have to sign a contract to get them, but hey, free phones. And
are they theming it like on the first day of Christmas?
Yeah, well, it's a holiday thing. Except it goes through the entire month of December, every day in December, right up to the 31st. So it's 31 days.
The song gets ridiculous. On the 28th day of December... Best Buy gave to me
a Droid 2
bargain. Yeah, a Droid.
Google branded Chrome OS netbook rumored to be launched next week on December 7th, same day as World of Warcraft Cataclysm. Don't know if
Cataclysm.
That's yeah. And this is not confirmed by Google, but all the rumors say that Google's going to have some kind of event next week.
I reckon they're all going to be playing Cataclysm. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's just that's the event. Google's like, hey, live Cataclysm. Watch us play.
Yeah.
All right, and don't forget, if you want to be part of Tech News Today this holiday season, we are looking for the best moments of the year. Go to twit.tv/bestof and tell us not only what the moment is, but the time code in it as well from the episode. And that'll help Jason put together all that stuff.
And thank you.
On to the email to tnt@twit.tv. First one comes from Christian, who says, I just wrote a blog post called Think Twice Before Building a Business on YouTube, which I think you might be interested in. To summarize, we have a very successful watch review blog called Watch Report. They talk about wristwatches. In response to reader feedback, we started focusing more and more on video reviews using YouTube. And then one day, our account got terminated, and all of our content, followers, comments, page views, and ad revenue was gone. And we can't get Google or YouTube to explain why. Anyone considering building a business on YouTube needs to understand the dangers of a system that has grown too big to take care of its customers. TechCrunch picked up the story, and the author at the TechCrunch article says they have also experienced this, where just YouTube stuff disappears and you can't get anybody to call you back.
See, that's why I always, whenever I do a video on YouTube, make sure to include at least 4 different pictures of cats throughout doing funny things. And that way you're guaranteed to be up there. You can put whatever you want up there. And just make sure you've got enough cats in there to remain current. Exactly. See, yeah. Now we know we can host this on YouTube. No worries. We've got a cat in there. And they'll be like,
and a puppy from earlier. It's perfect. It's like double dip.
Oh, exactly.
That's what Justin Bieber should have done.
This is a featured video. Yeah.
Guy wrote in and said, in episode 129, you discussed receiving text messages on a Verizon MiFi. Except, you know, MiFi can't read text messages. The messages can be retrieved using the VZ Access Manager software. Verizon uses this to send me messages informing me when I pass the halfway point and come close to my data allowance. The application also shows me the usage for the month each time I connect using the MiFi when I'm using it like a USB modem. While most of the use of my MiFi is as a hotspot, I connect using the manager on my notebook to check these notifications. I have received a notice from the manager of a firmware update for the device. Just thought you might want to know this. Well, that's nice. So if I want to know when I'm reaching my limit, all I need to do is plug the wireless device into a wire every so often and check. Why can't they just email me?
Yeah. You know, they could give me a job sending out emails. I'd do that. Don't need a computer. I'd do it. Just give me a list of people and I'll warn them. I'll be like, oh, Tom, easy on the downloads. That's all it would say.
It could be more personal that way. But no, seriously, like, why are you sending a text message to a device that doesn't get text messages and isn't meant to be operated, plugged into the laptop in order to tell me something? It's the worst.
I love the idea, Tom, of them, you know, you getting close to the end of your data allowance. They just start sending you loads of emails saying that you're using up your data allowance, which, of course, uses up your data allowance, which then takes you over your data allowance. So they can send you more emails so that, you know, it's just an endless cycle of misery.
Yeah.
I like it. It's a great way also to encourage
add-ons. It's like sending me an email that my email's down.
You can go and buy this lovely Verizon alert, which will let you know when you're over your data allowance.
There was
I think it's good. They're making more money for it.
Everyone's done that though, right? When your internet goes down and you go, oh, how do I fix the internet? I'll just Google it.
Yeah.
And you go, the internet's down.
I worked at an unnamed corporation, and the last two corporations I worked at were Tech TV and CNET, so you pick. But one of them would always send an email when email was down that you wouldn't get until the email came back
Until the email came back
The email's but down. At least we're working
They told you. That's the thing. And they could say, well, we sent you an email. And like with this, they can let you go over your limit because you won't pick up text messages. And you'll go over and you'll be like, oh, man, I spent an extra $20. What the hell?
Yeah.
And they'd be like, well, we did send you a text, so we're doing our bit. But they're not really. It's the equivalent of just being like, you know, hey, Dave. Yeah, stop doing that. And, you know, Dave's in another state, so it doesn't actually do anything.
Right.
But they tried, and that's what counts.
All right. Thanks, you guys, for helping out and filling in. We're going to have you on again next Friday, right?
Yeah, I think both of us.
God help us. Will, God help you.
Will, are you going to come back?
Oh, with bells on.
All right, let people know where
headphones.
They... In the meantime, between now and next Friday, where else on the internet can they find you?
Between now and next Friday, you can either follow me on twitter.com/WillHarris, or you can go and watch all the fantastic video stuff that we make at channelflip.com.
Channelflip.com, check it out. It's good stuff. That's where you'll find Will Harris's work. Mark the Turpin Terpster. Wait, no, Mark the Terpster Turpin. One of those things. Anyway, whatever your name is, what do you do?
You can find me at Twitter. I'm the_T. And on there, I'll tell you throughout the time about all my lovely podcasts and all the other things I do. And also tell you about like what I've been eating. Today I went shopping and went to a pantomime. So you can find out all these lovely little bits that just enrich your life by following me on Twitter.
All right. Thanks, you guys, again. Don't forget to follow us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. You can give us a call, leave us a voicemail message, 260-TNT-SHOW, or send us an email. Let us know when we're coming near our limit, TNT@twit.tv. We'll see you on Monday.